This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Friday, which means it's time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline and get our best bets with our friend, the prop queen, Ariel Epstein. And Ariel, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Baseball season has begun. What do you think of torpedo bets?
Happy Friday, guys. The torpedo bats are so silly. I mean, first off, everyone can use them. Second, clearly it looked really good against the Brewers pitching. It didn't look as great against ace Zach Gallen. So I don't really care too much for them. I've asked Cliff Floyd, former major leaguer, all-star World Series champ. I asked him about the bats. He said, hey, it's not like the steroid era. Like, this is, like, anyone can use it. It's legal. And until someone takes it out of my hands, I'm going to use it.
Let's get to some of your plays tonight in MLB. Ariel, fun series set to get underway in Philly. Philly's taking on the Dodgers. What prop do you like in that game?
I really like a strikeout prop. Surprise, surprise. It's like one of my favorite things. I love Jesus Luzardo to go under 5.5 strikeouts. So the Dodgers, it's just a trend that I've been betting since last year. They don't strike out against lefties. And you could have gotten this around minus 105. The Dodgers, not only are they 1-3 over under their strikeout prop this year against lefty starters, last year, 14-36 over under, averaging 3.9 strikeouts a start. So Luzardo, yeah, he had 11 punchouts against the Nats, but the Nats have been striking out a lot to start this season. Dodgers, they're more experienced than the Nats. The Nats are young. The Dodgers are not. The Dodgers are experienced. They're veterans. And they don't strike out against lefties. So I'll take the under 5.5 Ks on Luzardo against the lineup that loves contact.
Well, let's go to those Nats. Their bullpen stinks. Dylan Cruz does nothing but strike out. They look really young and inexperienced, as you noted. I love Arizona to pound them today on the run line. Jake Irvin fools some people somehow, but he hasn't fooled the Diamondbacks in the past. And I also like the starter for Arizona, the newly paid Brandon Pfaadt. Believe that. Like that. Some teams actually pay their top prospects to stick around beyond their arbitration years.
It's weird.
What do you think of this matchup?
I love Pfaadt. I love Pfaadt over 5.5 strikeouts. I was confused to the number because it was 4.5 late last night at minus 140. Now at 5.5, it makes a lot more sense, but I'd still take the over. In his season debut against the Cubs, that was one game. He only had five, but then Pfaadt averaged just under 7 Ks through 15 games last year against high K rate lineups. 8 strikeouts on the road, so home road splits don't really matter here. The Nationals didn't strike out a lot last year, but they do strike out a lot this year, at least 8 times in 3 of 4 games against righty starters, so take the over there.
We're talking to Ariel Epstein. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. The Fighting A's head to Colorado to take on the Rockies, and Ryan Feltner is not exactly a household name, but you like a prop of his.
Yeah, this is on my long list of props. Every time I seem to bet Feltner, he doesn't go over, but he's gone over a lot for other people. So over 4.5 strikeouts for him. Feltner had 5 already against Tampa Bay. He's averaging just over 5 strikeouts a game dating back to last year against high K-rate teams. The Athletics, one of the highest K-rate teams, this year have had at least 5 strikeouts in 4 of the 6 games they faced a righty starter. So Feltner over 4.5 Ks, he's got the advantage. He's at home in the altitude. He's only pitched in his career in Colorado the last 4 years. The Athletics, I mean, now they've got to adjust to the altitude. Maybe see more strikeouts today, over 4.5.
What are some of your top plays in the NBA, Ariel?
In the NBA tonight, I'm looking at the over for Devin Booker. I know it's a big name, but he had a bad game against the Celtics last time around, and KD was in that game. With games without KD, Booker's averaging just over 27 points a game, and his prop 26.5 tonight. The last three guards also, Tyler Hero, John Morant, Von Castle, all had 22+. And I would say that Devin Booker is on that list of good point guards or shooting guards. And then you've got the Rockets and the Thunder tonight. I would look at Fred VanVleet over 13.5 points. Against top 10 defenses this year, VanVleet's actually their X factor. He's averaging about 18 points a game in those spots. And then the Nuggets and Warriors play tonight. I like Jimmy Butler tonight over 17.5 points. I know it's the second leg of a back-to-back. He had a bad game against the Lakers last night. But Butler in the three games since joining Golden State, he's had at least 19 points in all three of those second legs. So go take a chance on Butler tonight.
Ariel Epstein, let the people know where they can find you.
Check me out 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time on X, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, at Top Queen Sports, doing the live stream every weekday. It's a ton of fun.
Oh, awesome. Ariel, thank you as always for your time. You have yourself a great weekend. We'll chat next week.
You too. Go Hoes.
Go Hoes.
It's Best Bets with Beltway Ben Hall on 105.7 The Fan.
Quickest trigger this side of the Mississippi.
You don't have to tell Beltway Ben twice.
It is Beltway Ben Hall, and what are you looking at?
Yeah, I got two MLB plays and then a few college basketball. Juan Soto over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. That starts here in 2 minutes. 8-for-15 against Gausman with a home run and 5 RBIs. That is in 27 plate appearances, 12 walks. That's pretty crazy. But it's great odds given the player. I was going to take his walk prop, but it's minus 230, which is outrageous. And he's over this in 4 of 6 games this season. So anytime you can get a guy like Juan Soto at minus 120 for 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, have to take it. Next play is A's on the money line. Osvaldo Beto looks legit, and he has since the A's have gotten him. Mm-hmm. He's turning into a reliable starter for them. The Rockies suck. Feltner had a fine start, you know, to begin the season, but all signs and numbers point to regression for him. Wasn't good in spring training, wasn't good at all last year. The A's lineup's dangerous, and guys like Butler, Blade, Langliers, they will wake up. They're struggling a little bit right now. Rooker's doing what he usually does, but they'll wake up, and I think they'll hammer around the Rockies, who are probably going to be the worst team in baseball again. In college basketball, Auburn on the money line, plus 128 tomorrow in the Final Four. Everything says Broom is good to go. He's feeling 100%. The elbow injury is not going to push him anyway, so feel good about that. Florida's lucked into 2 wins in the NCAA tournament, and of course, they also played Maryland, whose coach was already running down the street. Yeah. And I just think Clayton is a stud. He's very
scurrying.
Good.
Because rats scurry. Yeah.
That is...
Right, he was scurrying.
Yes, word. That, a hairless rat.
That is a good word for it. But Clayton's a stud, and I think Auburn will be fine with him defensively. Probably score 16, 18 points, but they haven't allowed a team over 70 points in the NCAA tournament. Auburn can turn things up defensively, and they're really good offensively. So I like Auburn to win at plus money with how Florida's played. I just can't pass it up. And then my final two plays, Houston +5.5 and the under in that game, 136.5. Houston's an old physical team. I think they beat Duke outright. Duke is, you know, everywhere you see the best team in college basketball by a lot of things, but you know, their two top guys are freshmen, and they are different guys. They've been exceptional, but I think this Houston team can out-physical them. They can slow this game down and play it at their pace. And for Houston to win, it would definitely have to be in the 60s, but I think Houston can get it to that, maybe low 70s, and I think they at least cover 5.5, but I think they win outright.
Beltway Ben, let the people know where they can find you.
At BH Journalist on Twitter. I will be live before Cordell's wedding.
Oh, pre-wedding stream?
It's a pre-wedding
from the lobby
stream.
Or like from outside the reception?
No, it'll be at the house in the morning. It'll be at the house in the morning.
Are you going to be watching the games during the wedding?
I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah, come on.
I'll be having a good time.
You have to ask.
We'll sit next to you. Yeah. Jason, anything you like this weekend?
Tonight I do love the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't mind laying the 1.5 with them at all. Jake Irvin has 15 career innings pitched against Arizona, 18 hits, 8 earned runs, 8 walks. I like Ketel Marte to do some damage in that game tonight. I love Ely De La Cruz to steal a base tonight. The Reds have gone 3 straight games without score. They've lost 1-0.
Yeah.
3 straight games. Like Contreras is terrible throwing people out. Tyler Anderson's on the mound. He doesn't hold anybody. And, like, if this kid gets on base, like, they're desperate to score a damn run. So I like that. I like Cedric Mullins to score a run, plus 175 tonight. I like the over in the Royals-O's game. I like Atlanta to finally win a game. I like Atlanta on the money line to beat Miami tonight. I like the Boston Celtics over their team total. I got it at 121.5. Hopefully you can still get it around there. I like OKC to cover against the Houston Rockets tonight.
I thought you liked the Pasquatch to go yard against Mean Dean.
I do like the Pasquatch to go yard against Mean Dean.
He's just confirming.
I called it a year ago. Yes.
I called it a year ago.
Yes.
Do you like him to
I've got
that
a Pasquatch Ohtani home run parlay. Little Pasquatch Ohtani home run parlay.
There you have it. Coming up next here on the program, let's take a look at what's going on the rest of Major League Baseball. Our TWIB notes. We'll look in on the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, and the Marlins. It's TWIB notes next here on The Fan.
Suarez hits a high fly ball deep to left field. Gino Suarez gone for a grand slam. He was down to his final strike with the bases full and two outs, a high fly ball, and it just cleared the fence out there and left, and it's 7-4 Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks TV on the call. Before we get to talking about the Diamondbacks, the Orioles lineup just was posted. Gunnar Henderson leading off at shortstop. Welcome back. Adley Rutschman, your catcher, batting second. Jordan Westberg at third, batting third. Cedric Mullins batting fourth in center field. Ryan O'Hearn, the DH, batting fifth. Tyler O'Neill, he's batting sixth in right field. Heston Kerstedt in left field, batting seventh. Ryan Mountcastle's batting eighth at first base. And Jackson Holliday's your second baseman, batting ninth.
Obviously, Gunnar being back is huge. We're true to their word about Gunnar batting leadoff. Seti in the four hole, I'll take it right now. They need to load up on lefties. We know what kind of trouble they've had with Seth Lugo. And Cedric is, what, he's got 11 RBI? I think he's as many RBIs as Judge or close to it.
Close to it. He's good for them.
Yeah, right. I think he had another two or three on homer last night. So, you know, good on them for getting that bat up there high in the lineup. Diamondbacks almost swept the Yankees. Even last night's game when the Yankees got up 9-2, Arizona came back and they were one clutch hit away from even sending that thing to extra innings. It did end up 9-7. Yankees bullpen. Look, the Yankees are not a juggernaut. The first weekend beating up on a bunch of Brewers pitchers who looked like they weren't ready for spring training, let alone the regular season, is one thing. But Arizona could have swept them. Arizona's one of the elite power producing teams in Major League Baseball, and they got to the Yankees from the start of that series really until the end. I mean, Rodon battled, but he's not special. The kid Will Warren, he's going to take his lumps. They're going to throw Stroman out there Saturday in Pittsburgh, but like, I've been really impressed with Arizona, and I think again that's a team that in 2019 we'd have been talking about absolutely in the same breath as the Baltimore Orioles. And you look at how they've built that thing versus how they've built it here, it is completely night and day.
By the way, speaking of building, we'll have their assistant GM, Amy Alsaade, on the show on Tuesday. Orioles
Baltimore guy.
Yes, went to Pikesville High.
Well, think about it this way as well, Jason. We mentioned how they've given out extensions to some of their young guys, but then they go out and they sign a Corbin Burns this offseason. And you could say, oh, he wanted to go home, but still ponying up the money to do so.
Hey, they've drafted a bunch of middle infielders. Ketel Marte, you produce like you have. You're getting another contract here. Like, that's how real major league teams are run. Like, people who are actually trying to win.
Let's go take a look in on the World Series champs and how things are going for the Dodgers so far.
High fly ball to center field. Harris is back. Ohtani!
So that was Sportsnet LA on the call. It was also bobblehead night, Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night, and he hits a walk-off home run to win a baseball game. They've yet to lose this year. They're 8-0. By the way, the Padres are 7-0.
Yeah. Oh, Padres and the Padres are 1-1 with the Cubs right now in the fourth inning. The Dodgers are a super team. The amazing thing to me about the Dodgers is, so like, Betts loses 30 pounds, and Freeman starts off hot, and now Freeman's on
the
IL because he fell down in the shower. So, like, Tommy Erdman has, like, a home run every night. And honestly, the thing that impressed me the most about anything with the Dodgers in the whole first week of the season, and Beltway Ben, you might have seen it. Did you see Dustin May? Oh, If he's back, he's not doing the stupid squat thing anymore. If he's back, forget about it. Like, Sasaki's been a disaster so far, but I mean, he's 25. They'll figure that out. Yamamoto goes tonight in Philadelphia. Really interesting series. Dodgers and the Phillies this weekend. Yamamoto's look really good, but oh boy, did Dustin May look back.
They're just so loaded. I mean, this team, and then the other side, the Braves now 0-7, which is crazy enough. But
they will beat the Marlins tonight.
We had Tim Kirkchen
they have
on,
to.
Over the weekend, and asking Tim, he's one of the historians of the game. He thinks this is the best team he's ever seen. Talking about the Dodgers.
I mean, they might go down. They're still, they have kids at AAA who would be playing on other teams.
Yes.
They have kids at AA who would be in AAA elsewhere or maybe even playing on some teams.
They will go get something at the deadline.
Yeah. Well, they're loaded for bear. So, yeah, they'll actually turn prospects into players.
Yes.
I mean, we've barely seen Ohtani, Betts, and have we seen Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman together for more than a game or two?
No, I don't think so.
And that's including them starting early in Korea because there was no, in Japan because there was no Betts there.
Yeah, because Betts lost all the weight. He had to go back home. Let's go east, my friends, and specifically Miami and an old friend helping the Marlins.
There's a swing and a line drive into the corner. Fair ball! A walk-off winner on opening day! Dugout.
Well, FanDuel Sports Network on the call. They never identified who had the hit, but it was Kyle Stowers,
old friend.
Now, Connor Norby hurt. He's got the oblique, so he's out for a little bit. But Kyle Stowers helping the Marlins win baseball games. They're off to a 4-3
They've actually
start.
Won some games, and he's been a part of a couple of walk-offs there. Not a bad start for Kyle Stowers at all. He swung and missed a lot. You could tell after the trade. You know, he was really amped up to try to make it pay off. And Connor Norby was the guy hitting all the home runs, and Stowers was striking out. But a decent little start for Kyle Stowers so far. He's already got a home run, a walk-off. He's got four RBIs, including two game-winning RBIs. He's walked six times in six games. That's huge. 863 OPS. They're playing him in right or left pretty much every day. That's a kid I always liked. That's a kid I always thought needed a real chance. And I'd like to see him hit 20 home runs this year.
Good for him. I mean, he's one of those guys that you have to root for because it just never was going to happen here. Getting yo-yoed even last year where in his limited play time he produced for them. And what, you were at the Bronx when he found
standing
out
in front of the team hotel.
Sent down.
He came out with his girlfriend. Looked like he got hit by a car.
It's good to see him get this wrong.
What do you think of their pitching, Jason?
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much. Alcantara was really good his second start. The changeup looked a lot better. And that's obviously a touch and feel pitch. And he missed so much time. I don't think they're going to wait that long to trade him. I think he's traded by Memorial Day. Why would you even mess around with that if you're them? I haven't seen Weathers pitch yet. Weathers must be banged up.
They
can't keep anybody. It's just a disaster. We had Ariel talk about my guy, Jesus Luzardo, the Jesus Lizard, he looked really good in his first start with the Phillies. We'll see what he does tonight against that Dodgers lineup. They gutted their bullpen last year. I don't know. Stowers is off to a good start. Otto Lopez is hitting everything that moves. Griffin Conine's giving him quality at-bats. I don't know how long that stuff's going to continue.
They've
made more contact than I thought they would. The pitching is, I think, pretty bleak. I'll tell you who looks really dog crap right now in that division is the Nats.
Yeah. Nats 1-5, loses 3 in a row.
Ooh, he's got no bullpen.
And Dylan Cruz hasn't gotten a hit yet.
No, he's striking it. He should be in AAA. And I don't think he'll ever be who they're telling you he's going to be. A lot of really bad at-bats, a terrible bullpen. Kleibert Ruiz is off to a good start offensively and defensively. But that was a pretty competitive team three quarters of last year. They don't look very good right now.
Coming up next.
Mel Allen, we love you.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Mel Allen. Buzz Williams. He was on Big Ten Network yesterday talking about his new job with the University of Maryland. had some interesting answers, including why he admires legendary Terps coach Gary Williams. We'll hear from Buzz next here on The Fan.
I've written him letters since I was a kid, including Coach Lefty Driesell. I have the utmost respect. There's only one Coach Williams here. His name's on the court. I anticipate I'll be buzzed to everybody around here and should be. He was sitting on the front row yesterday. He was the first call that I had in this process. I never told anyone in the process of my relationship with Coach. I have the utmost respect for him during his time here, but also his career at all four schools that he was the head coach at. And what I've done pales in comparison to what he has done, but I sure hope that we can have a trajectory similar to what he had when he was the coach here.
That's Buzz Williams on Big Ten Network talking about Gary Williams and speaking about Gary Williams with a ton of reverence there. And Gary Williams brought up, or maybe it was Jimmy, yes, it's been brought up somewhere that Gary moved around a lot at the beginning of his career,
yes.
Boston College, Ohio State, among others.
We forget about that.
Yeah, and then he got to Maryland and he was here 20 plus years.
Lifer.
Yes, but he also played here. So,
alas,
Buzz Williams speaking very highly of Gary Williams.
Yeah, look. Buzz understands this school and the history of this school, and he doesn't have to fake it, you know, and mispronounce people's names.
Juwan.
Yeah, I think he actually knows.
Bald rat.
It's probably, look, as much as he's moved around, it's probably a job he's thought about in the past, like maybe even when Terj came here. And I think he's going to be here certainly longer than Willard, and I think he could be here longer than Terj. Eventually, you get sick of uprooting your family, and you get sick of kids changing schools, and your wife gets sick of, you know, looking for somebody to help box up all this stuff. And like, I'm just saying he's about my age. I don't think he's looking at this to try to get to like what Duke? I mean, where does he think he's got, like,
yeah, and he ain't going to Duke.
Replace Izzo? Like, I'm just saying,
yeah.
What are the better jobs? Like, what's an exponentially better job than this that he would be looking to go to at age 57? I don't know.
I guess hypothetically,
if
things blow up in Arizona, but like, yeah, you're right.
Maybe he'll replace Willard.
Yeah. Nova?
Yeah.
That would be something.
That would be something.
Quite a pipeline there.
I think we got to let this breathe a little bit.
He's saying all the right things.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, look, that press conference was janky. We all said it. It looked like it was kind of slapped together. I mean, it was a little off. But you know what? It should be a little off because there's so many things bigger than a press conference that they've got to sort out right now that, like, I'm not going to obsess about that stuff.
No. It's about getting your staff together, hitting the portal hard. Those are priority 1-1A.
Oh, there's no doubt. And there's Ben, I do, before we play another cut, I want to check in with Ben to see where he is on his five stages of grief with the Maryland situation. Are you feeling any better about what Buzz is doing in the portal as of right now?
Yeah, yesterday I saw Maryland's name appear on a few guys. I think Buzz is going to be a solid coach, but one thing, and this is not a complaint, like, I just want Buzz to... Like, there's talks about Rodney Rice and stuff. Like, Buzz feels like a somewhat my way or no way kind of guy. Like, getting Rodney Rice back would be pretty huge. However he has to do it, I think he should try to, versus trying to bring in a bunch of just, like, gritty guys. Like, they need a top scorer. They need a true scorer and shooters. And at A&M, he did not have any shooters. Like, Maryland, 2 years ago, Willard cannot happen again.
Yeah. But you feel better today than yesterday. Is that what I'm hearing?
Every night that I get sleep, I feel better, but I still hate that bald rat.
Oh, that's for life. Do you know anything about the kid who redshirted at A&M last year, who now has shown up as a potential Maryland target?
There's two of them, and both of them like are super athletic. And it seems like it was kind of like a handshake agreement with Buzz. Like, they were going to go there, they were going to work out with him a lot, and they were going to redshirt, and then their next year would take on a role. Both of those guys would be good defenders. They're super athletic. And they went in with a no contact.
Yeah,
tag,
there's so, four. There's right. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, because you're on top of all this stuff. There's at least four A&M players that have all entered the portal with a do not contact. Correct.
Yes, the other two are Payne and Washington. Sullivan Washington. That kid is. If you look at his stature, you're going to be turned away. He averaged like 5 points and four rebounds. He will guard the best player on the court at all times. He's gritty. That is a guy that I really want. And then Payne. In the Big Ten, you need good bigs. Payne's an elite big. I would like to see them get him too, but. If teams start throwing offers out there, they're, I don't know.
Just it's a good thing. It seems like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So just
yeah.
Let it be. It's let a good it thing until it's not.
Way, Ben.
It sounds pretty good. They like this coach. They know this coach.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about.
Seems like everybody likes this dude, too. Yeah. You wonder why he hops around so much.
Well, it seems like his players might want to go play for him way more than Dirty Rats players want to follow him down the road to
Jacoby
Villanova.
Jacoby Gillespie going to Tennessee.
Also, I feel like something we haven't touched on here, but like Buzz Ball and what Buzz Ball is, and yes, maybe it needs to evolve a little bit, but I already think the more I read about him, the players that he goes after and the style of play that he has traditionally employed is not that far removed from Big Ten ball. Am I wrong? Like I feel like he already gets what he's walking into and he's already kind of played that ball a little bit.
No, yeah, 1,000%. But like Buzz also, which is awesome, like every spot he's been at has had and he's talked about it during his presser, like even though the presser was kind of like that was one thing he did. Jonas asked him the question and he was like,
Hall of Fame.
If you look everywhere I've been, it's been a different style of play. A&M, like, I don't know if it was because of the concerns with money, but at A&M he was fine. It looked like going after cheaper guys, but guys that he knew would be there multiple years and would run through a wall for everything. At Maryland, I think he's going to have more money, so you can have a few of those guys, but they do need a few scores.
Let's hear more from Buzz Williams. And you just heard him say that Gary Williams is the coach Williams at Maryland. I'm Buzz. Where does that nickname come from, Buzz?
That happened when I was a freshman in college. I attended a junior college in Texas. And the coach is now 88, and he's been a part of our program the last 17 years that I've been a head coach. Coach Orr said I was always buzzing around, that I had so much energy. And so everybody just started calling me Buzz. Obviously, that was a long, long time ago. And to be honest, I think most people think it's my name other than my wife and my parents. And so it's been Buzz since I was a freshman in college in 1990. And it's just that's how I signed my name now. It's just kind of become that.
Can I just say again, like, for a guy that now has jumped around like he has, the loyalty and the love that, like, we heard, was it Manny Obaseki who said that after they lost in the tournament? And we talked to yesterday about how his assistants have been with him for like 100 years combined. And you hear about this guy that was his JUCO coach who's now been with him for 17 years.
Yes.
There is a lot of loyalty. Seems to pop up a lot with Buzz Williams.
I don't think this guy will ever go into a press conference ahead of a huge game and bitch and moan about his expense report.
No,
I don't think he's wired that way. I don't think that baggage comes with him.
I also don't think he'll quit around Thanksgiving in the middle of the season.
And if he does, he won't be to blame. If that happens, then third time, if that happens again, I'm looking at the institution.
Yeah.
Like
if this happens again, it's a you problem.
I mean, it already partly is.
Yeah.
But not many people, I think, know the origin story of Bone, how Bone became Bone.
Yeah. Tell them.
Well, it's the Barrett Sports Media list, the Cleveland the Cleveland afternoon
Columbus.
Drive.
Columbus. Same aspired to be in the top 10.
Yes.
Cuz what mid-market, I don't remember what their
name
was.
Afternoon
T-Bone
Drive.
T-Bone and the Beef or something?
T-Bone and the Man, I think. It was T-Bone. T-Bone and the Man. The second guy's name was like a wrestler's name. But we could never crack the top 10 in that completely arbitrary artificial list.
Yes.
And so number one is always the
Common Man and T-Bone.
Common Man and T-Bone. I mean, they should be with that name. Yes. Honestly, we don't deserve to be in the same area code in the Barrett list with Common Man and T-Bone.
That's a bad
But
name.
I was like, well, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yes.
And so that's when T-Bone, Tim Barbalace, T-Bone. I mean, I'm surprised I'm the first person to ever call you T-Bone.
Yeah, no one's ever called me T-Bone.
He's the bone.
And that's where the bone came from.
Yeah. One more from Buzz.
You and Buzz. You should tell Buzz your origin story one
Buzz
day.
And the bone.
I will.
What is on
if
his...
If he ever comes on our show.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah, we should get that done. What is on his immediate to-do list?
I'm trying to keep up with it, just to be honest. I haven't slept since I accepted the job, like most coaches. I was thankful that my family was able to be a part of yesterday. I want to handle these families that are here, these coaches, the players that are here, the families they represent. I'm trying to meet the administration and all of the people that are going to be part of our daily activities, while at the same time we also have to sign a team. And so there's a lot of things that are important. First impressions are not only first impressions, they're lasting. And so I'm just trying to make sure that every interaction we go about, we handle in the right way.
This guy, man, Beltway Ben, sounds like he got right to work once he got the gig. Like, I think your fears should subside a little bit. This guy hadn't slept since he took the job.
Yeah, I haven't slept since Willard announced that he wasn't sure what he was doing in that post game. Reach out to some more guys, Buzz. Kidding. No, I'm fine. I'm on board. Ben. No, see,
you gotta talk him off the ledge.
You guys, No,
I just watch you. I see the stages.
I am not. You guys think I'm more mad than I am? I'm frustrated with the university and the bald rat. That's what it is.
The bald rat.
And Kermit.
Kermit.
Yes.
There's a question. If we get Buzz on, will Kermit be part of his staff?
There's always room for Kermit. Yeah, it's like Jell-O pudding. Yes. There's always room.
Coming up next, it's T-Bone time.
Do they
TMI.
Make Jell-O pudding anymore?
Yes, they do. You can get it.
What about Jell-O pudding pops?
No, those do not exist anymore.
They were big back in the day.
Yeah, it's big. There's some rape allegations with the guy, but alas, we don't have time for that.
The cause.
The cause was a bit of a.
He was the face of Jell-O pudding pops.
Yeah, yes. So. Alas, it's T-Bone time.
A lot about the 80s that would blow your mind, Bone.
Smooth transition here.
TMI, T-I-M, putting pop in your mouth. What you got?
Extensions. We haven't seen any of these. There's not even a dollar committed on this payroll to 2026 or 2027. They're the only team of the 30 that can say that. We're focused on the young guys, but what about Cedric Mullins entering a contract here? Would you be in favor of Cedric Mullins playing beyond 2025 in Baltimore? 410-583-1057. We also have a poll up. We'll get to it next.
Message for the kiddos. Oral Hall of Famer Mike Bordick says hello. He'll be on with Bone for BBT coming
Can't
up at
wait.
6. But it's T-Bone time, and the floor is yours.
He bust his butt, man. 2 hours prior
He's not
prior
just
to the
punching
show.
In and punching out.
No.
God, no.
He cares.
He listens to the whole show.
He does.
He does.
Including Text of the Day.
Yes.
Cedric Mullins cares. He was here through it all. The terrible rebuild that was. Got sent all the way down to AA. Came all the way back up.
I'm old enough to remember when he was a switch hitter.
Yes. Those were good times.
Had the 30-30 season back in 2021. But entering a contract year. And we opened the show talking about the lack of extensions. There's none that the Orioles have given
lack
out.
Of extensions.
Nothing to break down.
That implies there's some, Bone.
Under this regime with Mike Elias, who took over in 2019, $0 committed in 2026 and 2027. A lot of people focusing on the young core, rightfully so. Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Jordan Westberg, maybe a Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowles, anyone. We're trying to get a morsel here, a breadcrumb. Could that be with Cedric Mullins? And put out a poll on IA1057 The Fan on Twitter. This poll, every poll, at least for the next month, sponsored by Tee Time Golf Pass. Check out teetimegolfpass.com for exclusive Tee Time deals. About 150 votes in, pretty split so far. Several MLB players have agreed to contract extensions in recent weeks, and we're hoping the O's follow suit with some of their players. The focus is on the organization extending their young core, but what about Cedric Mullins? Would you like to see Cedric here beyond 2025? Yes, 53.1%. No, 46.9%.
Wow.
Do I think that he's going to be here beyond this year? No. Would I like to see him here beyond this year? I think so. Cedric's not going to break the bank here. And if you're looking at outfielders under contract beyond this year, or club control beyond this year. You're looking at Colton Cowser. You're looking at Heston Kerstedt. If you want to throw in Dylan Carlson, we know Enrique Bradfield Jr. is going to come at some point. But I think Cedric Mullins still has a lot of value to this team, not only as a defender, but what he can do on the base paths. And since June of last year, he's been back. And really, you can even go back to 2023. Prior to him suffering that injury on Memorial Day, he was on a tear for the first two-plus months of that season.
Can I just say for a second, like, I'm surprised that vote's so close, because I'm not saying, you're not asking, should he get a seven-year, $180 million deal? Like, what is, like, if you went to Cedric Mullins right now and said, I'll give you three for 47, like, what, that's cost certainty for him? Like, why wouldn't he do that?
And my question would be, is, well,
they're not going to do it.
They're not.
Of course
they're
not.
They're not going to do
it. They're
of course
not going to think about
they're
it.
Not
they're not even considering it.
But, no, but my point is that, like, the fans' vote was so close, I'm shocked.
But what if it's a situation like what Santander had, and the market's so soft, and would they break Mullins' fault?
Nobody in this room appreciates Cedric Mullins more than me.
That's
my favorite Oriole of this era. I told you guys since the start of last season, he's a top 30 major league player in OPS against right-handed pitching at home. I can also tell you since June 1st of last year, he's a top 50 major league player in on-base percentage against righties home or road. He's got a 360 on-base against righties since June 1st of last year. But these clowns had him batting seventh or eighth in the playoffs behind a bunch of kids who clearly had no clue what they were doing, right?
Including Adley, who was lost. At the
so they don't value him. They've never valued him. They never sold high on him. And I'm going to tell you something in dead honesty, and it's something I mentioned several times last year, and people laughed at me, but I was only half kidding. They should have traded Corbin Burns at the deadline last year, and they should absolutely be unloading. If Cedric Mullins keeps this up, they should trade him. Guys like Cedric Mullins, who are that cheap and that rentable, don't show up at the trade deadline. They don't. And we had people. Most of those guys have already signed their long-term extensions with their teams. They don't get to the market. They certainly don't get to the market as soon as their arbitration years expire. And there's going to be a number of contending teams who would look at Cedric Mullins, and he doesn't even have to necessarily be their center fielder, and say, oh, yeah, that guy puts us over the top. Speed, power, versatility. Like, could lead off, could bat ninth, could do anything. Like, I think he should be gone at the deadline. If they're who they think they are, and Enrique Bradfield Jr. is their replacement, then bring them down. Wow. Bring them down in August or July. Jeez.
But you're also assuming they're not in contention. That's why you trade them.
I told you, I think they're an 83-win team. I've been saying that for months.
But I'm just saying for people, like, if there are some people out there that think they're going to be contending.
But even if they're slightly better than that, if they have this if this rotation is the rotation in August, Detroit sold last year and still did a hell of a lot better in the playoffs than these guys who bought like a bunch of idiots and bought nothing outside of Eflin.
A lot of quantity.
So, like, it doesn't mean you're giving up on everything, but my God, can you get value for somebody? Could you get value from something that you inherited? Like, you inherited some decent ball players, many of whom had real highs, whether it's at an all-star game or a 30-30 season or a 35 home run season, where if this is what you really thought of them, you could have got real stuff for them. Like, to hang on to Ced so you can lose in the first round again and get swept would be moronic.
Coming up next, it's time for our second edition of the week. We do it twice a week. It's Bounce Back, Fall Back. Bone hosts, and it's next here on The Fan.